Following upon the heels of the Chidam Ravlim, on page number one, upper right hand corner, Hashem directs a rather sharp and jarring reply to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Adonai yinatzumi ha'amazeh. The lashon of Nun Aleph Tzadik in modern Hebrew and in classical Tanakh Hebrew and Talmudic Hebrew. We have a number of Gemaras that utilize this expression. For example, with reference to Yehuda, the Gemara Sanhedrin, the first parak, Ein zeh mevarech al menayitz, shenemar u'botzei haberech niyetz Hashem. The language of niyetz is a, as I said, a sharp, jarring kind of language. Essentially, it means that Klal Yisrael are scoffers. Essentially, we are being pilloried for a lack of emunah. Moshe Rabbeinu essentially is told that he will become a great nation. This is the favorite argument, one of the favorite arguments of Moshe Rabbeinu, namely that Hashem cannot touch us because Egypt nations will hear ki elisa b'chol chachos amazem b'kirbo. Will be essentially eliminated. What will they say? The non-Jewish populace. Essentially, because of his ineptitude, namely Kaviyachol. That's why he decided to slaughter us in the Midbar. As a result, Moshe Rabbeinu seizes the opportunity to do what he does classically, namely intervene on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Moshe the Raya Mehimna. V'yato yigdam l'koach Hashem kashe dibarta le'mor. So you'll notice now that the Torah introduces elements of Midos Shavachamim, but when we look carefully, we see they're not exactly comparable to the classic Midos Shavachamim Yud Gimel that I found Kisisa that we'll examine momentarily. V'ato yigdam l'koach Hashem kashe dibarta le'mor. Hashem, erech apayim v'rab chesed. Nosei avon v'fesha. V'nakei lo yinakei. The way Chazal interpreted, nakei l'ashavim, lo yinakei l'sheinam shavim. And as a result of this invocation of the Midos Rachamim, Slachno Labon Ha Mazek, the Golo Chazdecha, Pasuk the well known to us, Lel Yom Kippurim, the Hashem Nosos Ha Mazek, the Mitzrayim, the Arigno. That's with the addition that we had, namely, Bayom Hashem, Salachti Kibarecha. So the Ramban in the left hand corner, I'm not going to read it inside, you can examine this Rabban. This is classic Rabban, which is absolutely, there's nothing more superlative than the Rabban. Rabban, he asks a series of questions that are fairly evident. Question one, you look in Kisisa, which is down on page number two, in the right-hand column. We are familiar with the Chet Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu also there invokes Yud Gimel Midos Shavachamim. I don't want to say Ikka Chosim V'Asefer, but certainly one of the elements is Chosim V'Asefer. So there you see, on page number two, should be three pages, Hachato. Vayavar Hashem Alpame Vayikra, and we know the Yud Gimel Midos, we're familiar with that. There are those who say them on a daily basis. Even among those who follow Nusach Ashkenaz, minimally Monday and Thursday, and the Sfarim, of course, say daily. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun erachavayim v'erachesed v'emes, lo tzecheset v'alofim lo siyavom v'fesha, v'chata'o v'nakei. Lo yinakei. Okay, Rabbi Nahos al-Bonim, al-Bonei v'anim al-Shileshim v'abriyim. So the Ramban now is going back to page number one, the following questions. Why is it not mentioned here, rachum v'chanun? Don't appear. In the wake of the Chet Egel, we have clearly mentioned Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham V'Chanun. Question number one. Question number two, the Rabbah asks, in the context of Parshas Ekev, which you have on page one, lower left-hand corner, there the Torah, Kayadua and Mishnah Torah, the text writes in Gittin, Abayz, and in general, we've shown him, point this out. Mishnah Torah is essentially a lot of events that occurred earlier are re-articulated, are reset. So the Ramban asks, in Ekev, when Moshe Rabbeinu mentions the Chayla Ego, and you'll notice that that's found over here. Take a look in the Ekev, lower left-hand corner, below the Ramban. The Torah describes Matan Torah. And we have the Sukkim, Bayim Yikets, Abraham Yom, Abraham Laila, this is the Chayil Ego. And right away, Moshe Rabbeinu again jumps into the fray. We just read those psukim. Hashem threatened to destroy Klal Yisrael. I'll make a great nation. Some of what we saw earlier. Right away, Moshe Rabbeinu descends, and that's when he breaks the luchos. But here you have something fascinating that you don't find, yes, the Ramban, in the context of our Pasha. Namely, Torah speaks about the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. 40 days and 40 nights. And then a bit later, he wanted to destroy you. So here we have a clear statement, and if you look in the next lower left-hand corner, and when we, in the context, of course, notice that the Cheder Egel then leads into the Cheder Meraglim. It's clearly a synchronization between these two Chatorim, as we'll discuss in a bit. So the Torah goes on to say that context there. Again, the lack of Emunah. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu here speaks of 40 days and 40 nights. But what's amazing is that in Pasha Shlach, there's no reference to that. That's what the Ramban asks. The Chayit Aaron, the Torah mentions clearly the Tefillah that we just read the Psukim, and as well in the context of the Mishnah Torah, Chayit Hamaraglim, the Torah mentions that Moshe Rabbeinu, Dam for them, why not Shlach? Kasha number three. Take a look again at page number one, in the section that deals with the invocation of the Midas HaRachamim. So after it's over, as mentioned by Rav Shimon, B'shom Nimar, B'yom Hashem Salachti Ki Dvarecha. Read the text, and all of us learn the text. My main interest in teaching Torah in general is to read text properly, and to teach how to read text carefully in a very precise fashion. What's Ki Dvarecha? Salachti Ki Dvarecha. As you say, I will grant them slicha. But shalom kid barecha, I will not grant them slicha. That word seems to be superfluous completely. These are three of the questions posed by the Ramban. Again, let's just summarize the question. Number one, why doesn't it mention racham v'chana? There are other elements that I'm missing as well. The Ramban addresses it over here in the upper left-hand corner of page number one. Element number two, why does the term mention the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu as it mentions it in the wake of the Cheder Egel, and also mentioned in the context of Parshas Ekev. Number three, was Vayomer Hashem Salach Ki Dvarecha. So the Ramban answers, and I'm summarizing it, and in praise of the Ramban is found in Rabbi Bukhari, he's found in the Rechaim HaKadosh, a number of Mepharshim, but the Ramban is the one who really spells it out in the most beautiful way. The Pasuk Kisisa, in Perek Lamed Beis, the Torah there, look on page number two. So there we have the Psukim Kisisa, upper right hand corner, the depiction and description of the Ego, and then in Pasuk Zayin, right hand corner, by Dabra Hashem Moshe Lech Rei, Shichei Samcha, we saw that language before, Asher Elisa Meretz Mitzrayim. Sorrow Mayim and Adar Hashem Tzidisin. Asula Mayim Masecha by Shachulo by Izbukulo by Yamru. Eva Lohek of Israel. Asher Eluka Meretz Mitzrayim. So in the context of Kisisa, here we see Bayomer Hashem Moshe Raisi Esam Azev and Yam Sheraku V'Ato Hanichali V'Ichar Apivohem Ba'achalein V'Eseh Uschal the God Godol. Notice the language here. Let's examine it carefully. In the wake of the Chedo Ego, Hashem tells Moshe again Kishichei Samcha. And the slogan, El Alecha Yisrael Asher Elucha Meret Mitzrayim, and Am Sheyoref, and Nochamol, V'Eseh Oscha L'Goy Godo, V'Ato Anicholi V'Icha Api V'Hem Nachalein, V'Eseh Oscha L'Goy Godo. And right away, Moshe Rabbeinu again goes into proactive mode. These are psukim that we're familiar with every time as we read them. V'Yechal Moshe Espanei Hashem Elokov, right away, Loma Hashem Yechra Abcha V'Yamecha. And of course, what's the argument? Moshe Rabbeinu, the great lawyer, the advocate for Klal Yisrael, the argument is again, Chil Hashem, Lomo Yom Mitzrayim Lemor, Bidao Tziyom La'arog Osom, Be'erim Al-Khal Osom, Be'al Pnei Adama, Shul Mecharon Apecha. It tells Hashem, basically, I'll put it in modern terminology, chill out. La'abu. Shul Mecharon Apecha, Be'inachem Al-Ori Amecha. Calm down. Tiraga. And of course, he invokes everything possible. Zecholi Abram Yitzchak Yisrael Abadech Hashem Shbato Lem Boch. Vadaber Lehem Abayah Zarachem Kichol Chodei Hashavoyim Chol Oretz Hazos Hashem Amarti Etein Lezarachem Lachalu Yodom. And what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu is successful. Vayinochem Hashem. Alo Ro Hashem Diber La'asos Yamo. There's a Rashi, actually. I didn't quote the Rashi. There's a famous Rashi here. And that's awesome. Vayinochem Hashem Alo Ro Hashem Diber La'asos Yamo. So Rashi comments. Loma Hashem Yechere Klum Miskani Ela Chocham B'Chocham Gibor B'Gibor. Generally, one Chocham will be pitted against another Chocham. One Gibor will be pitted against another Gibor. Two titans at work. Two Chacham at work. I don't want to be Galatians into politics. A lot of tipshim that work. But the difficulty with this Rashi is that even without, when Rashi says, Klum miskani, and the chochem b'chochem, giver b'giver, even without kina, they are worthy of being punished. They sin. They are deserving of a punishment. What's Rashi saying? Klum miskani, chochem b'chochem, giver b'giver, means Hashem should not get involved. So there's one, from all of this, there's one conclusion that almost has to be the right. Absolutely, Zatzal was very fond of saying, sometimes I don't know, I don't understand, I have a lot of questions, but these questions lead to one inexorable kind of conclusion. And I believe the same thing applies over here as well. And the conclusion is that if we're discussing kapara for a chet, that they should get expiation, so then that time of klum miskane, only Chacham B'Chacham, Gibor B'Gibor has absolutely no relevance. They are deserving of punishment. Ein chet below einish, the Gemara says. There's no such thing as a chet without punishment. But here, the nature of the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu was not simply to achieve kapara for a chet that they did, but rather, it's something else. Let's examine the psukim more carefully. You look in Kisisa, also over here, on the left-hand side, you'll notice that Vayimi Machras. The Torah describes then what happened the next day. And I'm reading the psukim that I found in the page number 2, the second paragraph, starting from Lamed. Vayomer Moshe Elohim, Atem Chatosem, Chato Gedola, Moshe clearly says that I'm looking to achieve kapara. Vayashem Moshe Hashem vayomar ono chato hamazeh chato gdola vayasu lehem elohe zohom viyatav tisor chatosom vimayim v'chenin ha-misifu rasher kosovta. So the Gemara says in Yuma and Apevah, and actually the Rambam quotes in the Halach and the Chushuva, that me we learn out these talking that Bidu requires period achet. When the person says Bidu, you have to literally articulate what the nature of the chet was. And then Moshe Rabbeinu has kapara as a shliach of Klal Yisrael, a shliach Neman for Ikra Achet, that's over there. But in our context, going back here to something that we just read, the tefillah is not intended to be mechaper b'ni onesh of Achet, but rather, as we see in the psukim, and if you read the psukim that we just read, what does Moshe Rabbeinu ask Hashem? Shum mecharon apecha. That's what he asked Hashem, as I defined it before in my irreverent kind of fashion. Chill out. Shum mecharon apecha minachim ala rovi amecha. He's not asking for kapora. He's asking simply what Hashem said, or what Moshe Rabbeinu says earlier. Loma Hashem yechre apcha b'yamecha. That fits into this scheme of things as well. Rashi writes in Re'ei, and Rambam writes in Chumash Kesedar. Rashi, I believe, in Re'ei comments that, quotes a Sifrei, Rambam notices in the Aseres HaDibros that the idea of kina, whenever kina is found, the Charon Af is found, it's always in the context of Avodah Zarah. When Klal Yisrael are guilty of the heinous crime of Avodah Zarah, right away, Kikel Kana, the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes a Kikel Kana, an avenging God. And Rashi says in the Re'ei, that's what Rashi points out there, Kozman Avodah Zarah Ba'ilom, Charon Af Ba'ilom. Because Avodah Zarah says very clearly, Kel Kano, Sukim Aser Sadibros. The kina of Avodah Zarah is Gerim Charon Af. Take a look at the Meshech Chochma has a comment on this in the Atarah to Shabbos Shuvah. In general, it's good to learn the Meshech Chochma. That's what I suggest. I think I mentioned that I was Zeicha that Gerim Rav Yehuda Kupman Zatzal, the rector, founder of Michvala, many, many years ago, put out an annotated edition of the Meshech Chochma Alatera. He gave it to me b'tnai that I should learn it. That's what seems to be the lot in my life. People give me svarim. I was at a chasson the other night, and someone wrote a sefer on Torat Masam Matan. A lawyer used to live in my former neighborhood many years ago. So he told me, I'll give you the sefer. I haven't seen him in 20 years. B'tnai that you learn the Sefer right in your hour. I'm already halfway through. It took me 2 nights. So here Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo Hashem yekra apcha b'yamecha. There's no makom for kina at all, as Rashi said. Klum miskanei chochem v'chochem v'yimu v'gibor. So what I'm about to say now, the diuk that I just made is essentially not my diuk, although it was my diuk. But then I went looking to see if I could find support for this diuk. And I found the Baruch Hashem in the Al-Sheikh. Ramesha Al-Sheikh Al-Tayra, unfortunately not so popular. Fantastic sefer. Mind-boggling sefer. He's bedayik from Sukkim. Two things that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one, V'yichar ha'pi v'hem ba'achalim. Take a look at page 2, in the middle, right-hand column, the second paragraph. V'yato ha'nichali v'yichar ha'pi v'hem ba'achalim. There are two requests over here. One is, let my anger, literally, let my anger come to the fore. And number two, ba'achalim, let me destroy them. And if this charona will ultimately, God forbid, lead to, God forbid, Bachmanu litzlan, kilo yonu kalisa. And the truth is, Rashi, in Parshat B'Shalach, Rashi comments on the pasuk of Yochlemu kakash. So there Rashi speaks about a charona of Yochlemu and kilo yon muchlach, kilo yon the gamri. What happens right after this? In Paraklam Gimel, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, and more of B'nai Yisrael, Atem Sheirov, Rega Achad, Ela Bekir Becha, Vechili Sicha. What does Hashem say? I'm going to destroy you. And besides the Charon Af, there was also another Gzera. That's what the Al-Sheikh is Bedai. What's the other Gzera? Kilayah? Out of destruction. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to engage in two tefillos. Number one, Loma Hashem Yecher Apcha, namely Hashem, remove your Charon Af. That has to dissipate. That has to end. And number two, the Chil Hashem argument, Lomu Yomru, Mitzrayim Leimor, Bero, Tziyom, Laharog Osom Biyarim, Ulechalo Yisom, Yalpamir Adoma. What's the second argument? That you should not, God forbid, be utterly destroyed. Those are the two arguments of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're reflected very clearly in the Psukim, and that's the Al-Sheikh's deal. And the Al-Sheikh's deal is fantastic. Because a bit later, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say to Hashem? Also Psukim that we know, because we read them every time. What are those two requests? Number one, shuv mecharon apecha, let the charon af dissipate. And two, v'inachem al harav le'amecha, don't destroy them b'rega echad. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, but what does he say? The last pasuk of that middle paragraph on page 2, v'inachem Hashem al harav she'diba la'asos le'amo. Meaning, apparently, only 50% of the request was granted. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down, Hashem is v'inachem al harav. What raw? The raw of kilayon muchlak, about the destruction of Klal Yisrael. Namely, what raw? The raw of but there still remains what? The Charanaf. That they're going to die in the Midbar. A slow kind of death of attrition, if you will. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was misfellow. 40 days and 40 nights. Lissalik that Charanaf entirely. And the Ramban writes this in Parshas Ekev. I didn't zero after the Ramban, but the Ramban writes in Ekev. And that Pasuk, which is mentioned over here. On page number 1, the lower left-hand corner. In the end of the first paragraph, last 5-6 took him. Ki yogorti neha'af v'achimo asher kotzav Hashem aleichem v'hashmir eschem. Here also the deal is very meduyak la'afli. There were two issues. One, ha'af v'achimo. And number two, asher kotzav Hashem aleichem v'hashmir eschem. V'yishma Hashem elai gam b'pam ahi. Well, the question is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu afraid of af v'chimo? Why is he frightened? And that's how he davens 40 days and 40 nights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we already saw, he already essentially came down from his lofty perch. So one would say, Nistalika Afachema. The Afachema has now essentially dissipated. So the Ramban writes over there that the reason why the Torah says in the Afachema Shekazav Hashem mitchila. Initially, that was his intention. Lashmin Eschem. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was frightened because there's still that possibility. Why? Because of Afachema. Even though he already vayinochem Hashem al rosh, and the Ramban Chumash reads the psukim as beautifully as Al Shulchan. What are you referring to specifically? I don't remember all the psukim. The Gemara in Brachos, Kel Zoyin Mechol Yoyin. Bilam knew exactly. The record that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Zoyin. That's a Dishrei Gemara. That means, but you're right, 100%. He also wanted to tap into that. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, listen to me, gam b'pam ahi, just like you listened to me the first time before I came down from the har. And I also daven for Aaron HaKohen. But again, Ramban is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was korea l'gzar din, but only regarding hashchosa, only regarding kiloyim. That sense of anger was still extant. This is Mufurish and Rabban, spread out a great length by the Al Sheikh HaKadosh, but it's really just, as they say in the parlance, read the text, man. Read the text. That comes from the Bronx. How about you? Thank God, it's been a long time.
Where did you see the consequences of that?
Ramban, I mean the lashon of psukim. I have to find the psukim for you. But the psukim would indicate that even though it says here, "Vabibra azeh yitamu v'sham yamuso," but there's another pasuk. I have to find it now, just to authenticate that. But anyway, the Ramban now, and as you see, the Torah has really coupled together these two chatoyim, the Cheder Egel, the Cheder Meraglin, and there's no question that there's what to contrast between these two chatoyim. Having the Ramban and Pasha Shlach, looking at the Ramban here again on page 1, upper left-hand corner, here the Ramban actually points out the distinction between Moshe regarding Cheder Egel and Moshe Rabbeinu regarding Cheder Meraglin. In Pasha Shlach, it says, "Behemata so'am azek ishechot." They're going to be destroyed. Ki ishecha. At one moment. What will they say? The Goyim will say, Hashem couldn't bring us to Eretz Yisrael. and they will slaughter us in the Midbar. So Rashi says over there that there'll be a Chil Hashem. And then Rashi says over there, that's where I got it from. That Rashi. I don't have it in front of me, but Shimon, I have to now find it because otherwise I will be in trouble. Oh, question, where did Rashi see this in the pasuk? Says Rashi, first Chai Hashem is Loshen Shua. And then Rashi says, Ukrovi Imali is Kolaritz. So Yischal Shmi Bamagay Brazos Lemor. Mi Bilti Yichalas Hashem Loviam. Shelo Amisam Pitom Ki Ish Echod Ela Biichor Nem Shona Madma. It's Loshen Rashi. And Rashi probably got it from the contrast of the Psukim that I found here to those that I found the other passage that the Torah says, Eimatas Amazek Ish Echod. I assume that's where Rashi saw the contrast. In other words, essentially, for the Chena Meradim, there were two Zeros. Zero number one was Karona. Zero number two, the Heimata Salam Azeki Ishecha. Hashem is going to slaughter us and destroy us. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu daven for? Arichas Sapayim. What is he daven for? Shelo Yemisim Ki Ishecha. They should not be slaughtered. Kitzon Bamidbar. But however, regarding the second issue, which is, as I said a moment ago, that's the issue we mentioned over here, namely Karona Bashem. So that, apparently, we see lechora that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gamri, was not misbalo. Question is, why not? So the Ramban is his kashin. Take a look at the Ramban here, upper left hand corner, page number one again. Ramban says something incredibly striking. He says a number of very striking things. This Ramban has to be examined. I'm not exaggerating. For months.
Sorry.
My point is, he's asking for it, but you'll see in a moment, not Legamri. That's my point. And on a partial kind of basis, not fully. And the Ramban explains it. The Ramban is the one who really delineates it. Ramban writes over here, he says, Ula Yoda Moshe Ki Adin Matu Achaleim V'lo Yimcha Legamri. Hashem will not completely descend from that Karona. Look in the middle of the page. So you see where it says, V'lo Yodati, the Ramban I'm talking about. It's line number 13, starting from the beginning of the Ramban. V'lo Yodati, lo mo hiski rachum v'chanan, ula yada Moshe, ki adim matuach aleim, lo yimcha lo elo. L'chein lo bikish rak aricha sapayim. That's what he asked for. I'll get to that in a moment. So the Ramban, in effect, is commenting, even though you could argue, as Dr. Sasson just argued correctly, how does he know to make this kind of a chiluk? So I thought that perhaps, maybe this is found in the pasuk in Kisisa. That puzzle. So Rashi says over there, if I'm not mistaken, Anichali, Adayim lo shaman, she's following Moshe Aleim, but Omer Anichali? Because he said Anichali, Moshe Aleim, not the Dabba for them. Ella, Rashi says over there, that there was a Pesach that Hashem opened in. Pasal of Pesach. The Pesach was that Adobo told him both, Im yisfalo aleim, lo yichalim. If he prays for them, he won't destroy them. While here in Pasha Shlach, notice what the Lashon here says. Here there's no Anichali. What does it say here in Shlach? Again, on page one, upper right hand corner. Doesn't mention the Pesach of Hanichali. Earlier, it's mentioned that Pesach. Rashi quotes it, Pasach of Pesach. So apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu was being given a remez that only in the Cheder Egel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a Pesach that he could daven a Tefillah Shleima to remove the Karonah entirely, in total.
Mashenki, the Chedam Radlin, then the Pesach HaVanichol is not given to him, Moshe understood, there's no way I can remove the Chavon HaVagamri. That's why he only asked Hashem to be Korea the Gzardin of Kloya, of Lahamisa and Piton Ki Shechod, but not the Salih Chavon HaVagamri. And that's why he only had, Ramban says, Zerach HaPayim, and not Machum HaKadim. And now we understand the language of Salati, Kidvarecha. What does it mean, Kidvarecha? Kidvarecha dafka. Ma'od biduyak. Rak Kidvarecha, namely, what do you want me to do? To be korea the gzera of Misa Pitomi. The shchototam amibak, yishachat, that zeket. But the chavona of Misa, b'ichor avoyim shana, mat, yishachat. That's the remit. Meduyak lach. And therefore, the Ramban also, and this is all this Ramban in the upper left-hand corner, that in Parshas Ekev, where the Torah actually mentions the Cheder Ego, lower left-hand corner, page number one, it says the Moshe Rabbeinu daven for them. Cheder Rabbeinu doesn't mention the daven. As a matter of fact, the Torah only mentioned the Tfilos that were in the Skabel, the Shleimusot, and Klal Yisrael were Nimchal, remove the Chalonah. Tfilah Shlema, Cheder Ego. That was the Tfilah Shlema, and that was the Tzilu Chavonav on the part of Hashem. As a matter of fact, similar to Aaron HaKohen as well. The Tfilah was Shlema to be Masal the Chavonav from Aaron himself and not from his children. Rashi calls it an Eker. Hashem, Yichem Ravlin. The Chavonav was not this double. Chavonav remained is a very famous comment of the Brisker. And this is on page 3. The Brisklav comments on this in two places, both in Shlach and Pashas Matos. And we say it every Friday night. As a matter of fact, I got this Brisklav because my father, Hashem, used to learn Tfilah together, besides the Shlach Bikr Vechatago. We learned the entire Tfilah. My father made a wager with us when I was about 7 years old. He said, if we know the translation of every word in Tfilah, so for each paragraph, or for each Tfilah, he'll give us a nickel. Boy, did he get away cheap. I used to lay in two different shuls when I was 13 or 14, and then I retired very quickly because it was too much. I had to walk 5 miles to the two shuls and receive $5 for each piyasater, total of $10 and 5 miles. My father thought it was a good thing. He thought it was such a good thing. He thought I should do it pro bono. Not even necessary for compensation. They're doing you a favor, he told me. Compelling me to prepare the parsha, my father's to test me on, to spend 30, 40 hours. My father held a Gar Soloveitchik. I don't think he necessarily learned by Gar Soloveitchik. He did. Although he admired Gar Soloveitchik very much. Went to a number of Ishiurim without any background. But Gar Soloveitchik held Trump as Ma'akev. If we were to follow that, we would be in, as they say in simple English, Esawasa. A lot of hot water. Even though we have very good Balikriya in the shul. But even once or twice, they may, shall we say, deviate from the course. I would even have the audacity to lay in the halal. So on Friday night, my father made this wager. So the course of 2 or 3 years, we learned every single word of every davening. When I was 9 years old, I had the audacity to go to a very choshev Talmud Chacham. He was actually not in Gobel. And I asked him, since I knew the translation of every word, could he please translate for me the following sentence, which I knew the translation of. Yihu yatzilcha, yipach yokush, yidever habayis. I challenge anyone here, I don't want to challenge it, just I'm being cute, I have this cuteness in me. I asked him to translate those words. He knew I wanted to upstage him. I was 8 or 9 years old. Unfortunately, I didn't realize my father was right there. I won't say what the result of that was. There's a machlokes apparently between Agoyin Abchaim Kadiesti Shlita and the great Baal Musa. Are they sure? I don't know if you knew him or perhaps had some contact with him. You probably did. Where? Wow, he used to come and say Shmuzi. Go to his house, even better. So I was lucky to hear him for a fair number of years, and we actually had a meeting with him. My entire family met him for 2 hours, and he was an astounding person. Everyone know who I'm talking about. That Sefer is such a classic Sefer, beside the fact that his Hebrew is absolutely, I don't know how to describe it. There are only two or three Gdolei Yisrael who really write Hebrew well and speak Hebrew well. Also, I use the Talmudic Hebrew, which is fine. Any shum bayah im zeh. But he was one of them. And he was a fantastic person. When the Chaim was Nifter, Chaim Shul Levitz, so he started saying shmuz in the Mir Yeshiva. And just an incredible person. First of all, he was he had no formal training, as far as I know, in psychology or psychiatry. He was a psychologist by excellence, and shum something. He understood, he had the understanding of the human being just down to a science. So, but he has a beautiful Hebrew. Very, very eloquent Hebrew. And I'm into eloquent Hebrew. I'm into Hebrew b'chlal, into eloquent Hebrew b'frat. And the other one I was referring to is Agoyin Nadav and Sol Shlita. Has a gorgeous Hebrew. Unusual, extraordinary to see such a Hebrew. The answer is they studied the language. They felt it was important enough to study the language. One of Rav Soloveitchik's daughters told me, I asked her a number of years ago, one of the Yahrzeits, how did Rav Soloveitchik, where did he acquire his knowledge of the English language? So I asked both daughters. I decided I wanted to see what each one would say. So one daughter told me, what do you mean? He memorized the Oxford Dictionary. But she said to me, you could see he was not natural. Because from time to time, he would use a word. It was clear he did not have that sense of someone who grew up with the language. And so he wasn't as comfortable with it. He acquired it by just memorizing the Oxford Dictionary. So I said to her in my usual joking fashion, because I tend to joke with people from time to time, I said, where did he do that? In the washroom? That was the end of the conversation. Of course, he didn't do it in the washroom. He studied the Oxford Dictionary, Moshe Tzarich. She also told me that he did something else. He decided to read about American culture in order to be able to integrate it into American society. So what did he read? Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, b'chul b'chul. That's what she told me. That was one. The second daughter told me that he acquired the English language he was a voracious reader. And he read everything, he get his hands on. And as a result, he acquired the English language. Okay, I was able to be zecher to many nickels, which I guess you can say called nickel the side of the Cheshbon Gadol. Oh yeah, I was going to get back to that in a second, but that machlokes was whether, shall we say, is it a good thing to engage in corporal punishment? A Chaim hold yes, not obviously on an ongoing basis, chas v'shalom, but midei pam v'pam. Because Gemara's Sukkim, a few other places in Shas, and the Alei Shur held Chas v'Sholom, absolutely. Rav Nevinson told me the following many years ago, maybe 18, 19 years ago. Gemara says, Hamakib ben Agovo, this is not counted at the time. Hamakib ben Agovo, Oyver, I live in the evil of Sitim Mishal. He might hit you back. Rav Nevinson told me, Hamakib ben Agovo. Mitchell. Gemara doesn't say that, but he said that. He might hit you back, especially with money and given to the generation. So that's not the approach. I am to agree with the approach of the going. Are they sure? It's possible to me that that's the correct approach. Chas v'sholom, we should not touch anyone. We shouldn't put them open. There are different, many, many dvachim, and primarily this generation, there's only one there. Mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'chabes es ha'ava, un'horos lo yishtavua. Yimitein yishkol, ha'im beis l'ava'ava, boz Yeruzalem. Only Abba. Abba Mekalkel Sashura. Abba and more Abba and more Abba. Okay, this was not counted. Anyway, the reason why I said this is because of the nickel. So I got a lot of nickels. And then my father said to me that, okay, now that you know the translation, then if you memorize it, I'll give you another nickel for each one. So I got, I don't know what I got, how many nickels did I end up with this? You probably can figure it out, Dr. Sasson, a mathematician. So let's say 1,000 nickels.
What's a nickel?
Good gizakh. It reminds me of we were once on the Lower East Side. $100. And we were into Gus's Pickles. In my family, I don't know, Rabbi Abali, maybe you know from Queens, you must know of Gus's Pickles. They're richtig pickles. They don't exist anymore. Maybe they do. I'm just not aware of it. Anyway, so I go to the Lower East Side, my father again. And so I asked into the barrel, the pickle barrel. And how much is this pickle? So she told me this pickle is only a nickel. I didn't have a nickel, I had a few pennies. But then I went for another pickle. So I said, how much is this little picale? In order to reduce the size of the pickle. This picale is only a nickel. Anyway, that's what Jesus reminded me of. Okay, so now that we have the Friday night davening, our volume shona kut bedor. V'omar am to'ev le vavein ve'en v'yod v'durocha. Asher nishbati v'api in bevon el menuchasi. What does that mean? Seems like that.
The wife gets stung with such gusto.
That's correct. My father, by the way, was troubled by that. And the way, especially there are certain. My father Yatsami Dato regarding that this. How in heaven's name could they sing this with such gusto? My father was against the whole thing, the entire approach. He felt that it was wrong for many reasons. One, they don't know the meaning of the words. Number two, it's clear they don't know the meaning of the words. This is one raya, it's a raya muchach, it's right at the beginning. They sing it with gusto, he's talking about Ibn Shalom. He's in cast. I brought him Shema of Kut Bidor. That does not mean we're good. Toei means we're off the dach. David HaMelech says in Tillim. He said Toei. Hashem Nishvati V'api. Hashem takes a shvua and the boy in the Mulchasi. How in heaven's name could we see that with gusto? My father couldn't get past that. I got past that a long time ago.
Well, why is that part of the service now? It's such a negative thing. Well, this could be is it made as part of the Shabbos?
Okay. First of all, we take a look at the Sifra over there, that pasuk. Hashem Nishbati, that's what the Biskov here talks about. I'm going to summarize a few. It always will be until way beyond the time allegedly supposed to be here. But anyway, Hashem Nishbati, the Api Mivonim Ulchasi. So that means the Sifra says, that Kishi Yashuv Api Yavo Mulchasi. When my anger is dispelled, when my anger is dissipated, then we'll go on Mulchasi. So the Ravid interprets this in front, the Biskov quotes it over here, that this Api is a Gvul, is a Shvua. Kozman Sheyeh Charon Ap Lo Yavo, Ushay Stalik Yavo. When the anger of Hashem, when it ends, when it abates, then we'll enter itself. So what do we see? There was Charon Ap for 40 years. Now the Tzuki Vimatos, that's what here, the second Rizkov. V'inei kamten tachas avoseichem v'sposot al charei naf Hashem v'Yisrael. He said, shuvim me'acho v'yosafu v'anichov amibah. And the passage says over there, if you remember, that Hashem took a shvua, and yiru ha'anoshim olim mitzvayim v'edesim shonah v'amaz ha'adoma, v'yichav Hashem v'Yisrael, v'yinei'im v'amibah abo'im shonah. Atom kaladar, Hashem also arav, v'inei Hashem. That's what Rizkov talks about. Now that you look in Korach, that I did also a Xerox here. On page number 2, lower left hand corner, Korach also, Hashem tells Moshe, hey, Roman, we talking about you wanted to destroy again the whole Eda. Oh, I didn't think I'm reading the lower left hand corner. So Rashi over there has a famous comment. Rashi says this secret was given to him by the Malach HaMoris. That Ketores Eitzah Magifa is well known. Many, many people started saying this year, the Ketores, I saw many, many people purchase the cloth for the Ketores. They're very, very didactic and based on the Rashi. Rashi and Chumash. So they actually, I saw the Magia and that Rashi, he has the Kasha, that which I go to Bohu, there's a Gzeira. What shock that Aaron should be Mvatu with Gzeira? Don't we know the Gemara says, Ein Chochma, Ein Tzuna, Ein Eitzadeg al Hashem? And the Rebbe makes a Gzeira, that's it. It can't be undone. So the answer is that Echanami, that which I go to Bohu, was goes there explicitly, cannot be subject to Bittul. But because we know that Kevich and Nita Rishus Lamashis Ashis and Amafim inside of the Rosh, the famous statement of Chazal, that once the person is given permission, so then he doesn't distinguish. But Amashim Mason be delayed, that which is in it, there's a tikkun of the terrorist. So here the pasuk says, Kiyotza Akesef, Nidavne Hashem, Hechel Anoget, which refers to Charon Ap. That's mechayiv magefa. So that's what the Torah does. It's mesav the chamaynav, and once the chamaynav is mesulak, then memela matiyotra magefa. That's somehow the assumption over here regarding this matter. Okay, I just want to add one small little addition, which is found here on page number one in the lower right hand corner. I just wanted to make a comment or two, if I may, and with that we will call it an evening. Regarding the Makilin, what happened was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, his anger is directed towards the Meraglim of what they did. And now the Torah goes on to tell us here on the bottom of page number one, in the lower right-hand corner, that after the Chedah Meraglim, when Moshe Rabbeinu essentially issued the Xavier not going to enter into Yisrael, what do they do? By Ashkim Baboker, I'm reading the last 10 lines, by Yadu Avosha Haveimor, Hinenu Biolino, Elavaka Mashiach HaShem Kichatam. We're gone. By Yom Moshe, Lama Zeh Atem, Ober Mishpi HaShem, Ilo Sitzo. What are you doing? So the answer is they want to do tshuva. They want to do tshuva, something they were nichshal, namely the Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. And now they want to go to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to go with Mesiras Nefesh. Al ta'alu, Moshe says, do not ascend. Ki ein Hashem b'kir b'chem. Ki ha'molik ki v'aknan yishom b'vechem v'nupal d'mechorem. Moshe tells them very clearly, Hashem is not going to be with you. So they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, Mesiras Nefesh, without Moshe, without the Aron. Wow, that sounds exciting. They want to be like the Chet, but Akotze, Akotze. They want to do that which they did. And Hashem is not Mekabel. And what happens? Rachman al-Litzvah, the Torah describes, by Yerin ha-Malik, v'achnani, ha-Yeshi Baruch, v'yakum, v'yaksum, ad ha-Chorma. Wow, what a possible. Utter destruction. Question is, why isn't there wasn't Hashem? Shouldn't he accept their tshuva? They're doing such a good tshuva. They want to be Mesir Nefesh. Isn't that the derech? To be misaking that which I did before? The answer is fairly evident. Not only did they not do tshuva, it was Vesof Aschet Al Pesha. They simply poured more fuel on the fire. And why is that? Because the chet wasn't the fact that they didn't want Eretz Yisrael. Kol Yeshua said very clearly, Tova Haaretz Vod Mo, the land is great. The fact they didn't want Eretz Yisrael is not a good thing. I mean, imagine had they gone, a lot of people like to go to Switzerland. So imagine had they gone to Switzerland, and Kali would come and say, wow, what a beautiful country. Look at those mountains. Look at the air. I've never been there. But I know people who've gone there and sent me pictures. And let's say they didn't go there. Would there also be a tvia on Kali yourself? Certainly not. Hashem didn't tell them to go to Switzerland. So who cares if the landscape is beautiful or not beautiful? But Eretz Yisrael, Hashem told them to go. So even Yeshua and Kali, they say, even if they had said that Eretz Yisrael is not so attractive, not so pleasant, not so beautiful, Hashem tells you to go, you go. Kolshkem, when they say, Tova Haaretz, the end day, that the land is beautiful, the land is great, the land is good, so they have to go. So here we have Ken Meraglim who say not to go. No, so what do you do in that situation? You would say, Acher Av Lahatlis. The Rebbe is Machmir, Amishin Sadeh, Apostle Chumash. Is that how we look at it? Of course not. Because let him ask Moshe Rabbeinu. He has to go out door. What are we supposed to do? Do we listen to the 10 or do we listen to the 2? Moshe, after he tells them, do not pursue this matter, Hashem is not interested. Yet they still want to go there. It's Israel. So here, essentially, I think the lesson, and this is, you take a look at all the Kimad Rishen who talk about this issue, that Eretz Yisrael, its value is not because it happens to be a Mokum Yafa, which it happens to be. And it's also not because of its geographic location or because of its wonderful nature or something else. Only one thing
is responsible for Eretz Yisrael being what it is. Ratzon Hashem. That is the Ratzon Hashem. The Eretz Yisrael, Mamela, Eretz Yisrael, Tevahi, the way the Yeshua and Kodesh said, when Hashem does not want us to give Eretz Yisrael, there's no point pursuing it. Neged Ratzon Hashem. Without Moshe Rabbeinu, without the Aron HaKodesh, there's not even a reach of tshuva in what these Mapilim did. Lehepech, Mosif and Chet Al Pesha. They poured more fuel on the fire. First, they were nishal that somehow they decided not to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, not to listen to Hashem. And now, after they're told what they're told, they're going to go against it. Eretz Yisrael is not the Ika. The Ika is Ratzon Hashem. Eretz Yisrael said, Hey, Chatimta to Ratzon Hashem. And that's one of the mistakes that many people make. I'm talking about we're living right now, we're ensconced in, mired in the worst of all politics that could possibly imagine. And the worst of all scenarios I could possibly imagine here in Eretz Yisrael, and it all comes from one thing. Gaiva! Gaiva mikastod! From every side is Gaiva. From the side of the Rosh Hashanah, from the side of every single politician, and I'm not mechalik between politicians. They're all the same. Absolution was we're learning in Mishnah Trumas. And the Mishnah came to the word politika. So Absolution wants to know, what does that mean? So he said, Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, politika equals sheker. That's what we're seeing in front of us. Without Ratzon Hashem, and it's Mizuik in the Pasuk. That's it tonight. If that's the Ratzon Hashem, without that, there's no way we can have Hatzlach. There's a lot to say, but I'm not going to do it now because I've already gone beyond my limit. I don't think so, but many do. So therefore, I'm not going to be mitzar you any further. I'll just end by saying that these psukim that we are reading, not just the Meraglim, but all the psukim we read in Baal Yisra, he said our daughter is Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. We have to find out what is the Ratzon Hashem. That's what the obligation that devolves upon all of us individually, collectively, in Klal Yisrael. And trust me, no politician is going to tell us what the Ratzon Hashem is. They don't have a clue. Their interest is purely Anochi Eimei Ben Hashem Uveinechi. Anochi Yut. Ego multiplied 10 billion times. With that kind of gaiva, you'll never know what the Ratzon Hashem is. We have to try to figure out what the Ratzon Hashem is. And if we are inducted to carry out the Ratzon Hashem, then hopefully, and Davin, hopefully the Ben Hashem will somehow turn the tide, turn everything upside down. That would seem to be right now a disaster. But hopefully, Mitz Hashem, be a real return, Chaliyah, will call yourself a member.